go ahead and worship the Almighty God. Let's give him glory. Give him honor. Give him adoration. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have worshipped. Pastor Kenwa.
Father, in the name of Jesus,
amen.
Thank you for the privilege of having our daddy in our midst. Lord, as you showed us on March 12th that you have designed this weekend to quicken us with your fire, please, let it be in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Lord, we look forward that the blessings of 3 years which you have been starved with and more shall be restored to us.
Amen.
Holy Spirit, have your way.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Well, I saw one shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I shook hands with one or two people and said, good morning, God bless you. That's okay. And then you may please be seated. Good morning to you all. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew 15. That's what is in our open heavens this morning. Matthew 15, from verse 32 to 39. Matthew 15, 32 to 39. Someone will read for us. Then we'll take comments from three brothers and three sisters who will explain that passage to us. Matthew 15, 32 to 39.
Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And his disciples say unto him, when should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? And Jesus said unto them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7, and a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. 35.
Go on, I said to 39.
Okay, sir. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and broke them and gave to his disciples. And the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full. And they that eat were 4,000 men, beside women and children. And he sent away the multitude and took the ship and came unto the coast of Magdala.
Okay, that's the story. It's a well-known story. What do you learn from this story? What do you understand by this passage? Three brothers, three sisters. If you want to contribute, you just raise your hand and they bring you the mic, okay?
Jesus is compassionate.
That's right. So they have compassion. There's someone down there.
Jesus is understanding.
Okay. As one brother, one sister, we're waiting for two more brothers. Two more.
He gives thanks. Jesus gives thanks.
He gave thanks. Okay. That's fine. That's...
Jesus is a blesser.
He's a
blesser. He gives blessings.
Blesser. Ah. All right. He's a blesser. Okay. Bless you with food.
Jesus.
Yes.
Jesus does not want waste.
He doesn't like waste. All right. That's all the brothers now. One more sister.
Jesus does not despise anybody.
Hey.
Yeah. And so he had the compassion to give, because even if it was a little they had, he did not think it was small to feed a multitude. So he did not send them away because of that.
Okay, if you say so. All right, I will take one more brother here and one sister here. Okay, here. Yeah.
Two things. In the first instance, don't despise small things. Five loaves and the loaves and fish is just that small. Seven loaves, five fish. And yet he made something great out of what was small. I mean, for instance, there are times we undermine small potentials, but with the blessings of God upon it, it makes a great difference. So we should never undermine the small things. The maid in 2 Kings chapter 5 with Naaman was a small girl, yet she made a great difference. So we shouldn't undermine that which is small, because he can make a lot of things. Though your beginning is small, your end will greatly increase. Secondly, is the power of thanksgiving. And by reason of giving thanks, there's a way one can experience an extension of the grace of God. And giving thanks to that which was small enabled people to experience God's grace in a dimension. Giving thanks can make one encounter the goodness of God. One thing that strikes my heart, not here, was about Job. Job was undergoing affliction, then the whale's belly, but when he gave thanks, the whale spat him out. The power of thanksgiving. Giving thanks multiplied what was there.
Okay, this. I think there's a sister that raised.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Jesus is a multiplier.
Jesus is a multiplier. He multiplied the little that was given, and they even had leftover.
Okay, thank you. Well, we will now finally ask Mommy. She has something to add.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The first thing I noticed here is that the Lord will always extend compassion to those who continue with him, which means it is good not to be a visitor to Jesus, but always continue with him. And so compassion and everything that is good from him will be extended to such people. We can see it in the lives of the disciples also, because since they continued with him, he told them, even while he was going away, that they should go and wait in the upper room so that they can receive the power. So I pray that we too we shall continue with him in our race in the name of Jesus. The second thing here that I notice is that Jesus is mindful of even our hunger. That's why the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 4, that if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we shall be satisfied. And it tells us in the book of Hebrews 4:16 also that we don't have an high priest who is not mindful of the feelings of our infirmities. So Jesus is mindful of the state of our welfare. And in Matthew 25:35, the Bible tells us that Jesus was addressing the people that while he was hungry, they fed him. While he was thirsty, they gave him drink. And while he was in prison, they visited him. And so on and so forth. And he asked them, when did we see you and do all these things? He said, once you have done it to any of these ones, you've done it for me. So this is telling us that we should not just overlook the state of the welfare of the people around us. We should be mindful of it. And I pray God himself will be mindful of us and care for us in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you. Matthew 15, from verse 32 to 39. In addition to all the lessons that have been brought out to us, I just want to quickly look at some 7 little points. Number 1, Jesus is constant. Hebrews 13 verse 8. Hebrews 13 verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Meaning what? Whatever he has done before, he can do it again. Because we see in this story that this is not the first time that he fed a multitude. In Matthew 14, 15 to 21, he had fed some people, a multitude, with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. Here again, the multitude were hungry and he fed them with 7 loaves and some little fishes. What is done before, you can do it again. He has raised the dead before. In Mark chapter 5, verse 35 to 43, Mark 5, 35 to 43, he raised Jairus' daughter. And then he raised the dead again in Luke 7, verse 11 to 15. Luke 7, 11 to 15. When dealing with the son of the widow of Nain. The lesson from that, of course, is if he had helped you before, he will help you again. Amen. The second lesson that we want to point out to us is that Jesus does more with less. In Matthew 14, 15 to 21, that we referred to earlier on, Matthew 14, 15 to 21, he had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he fed 5,000 people. And there were 12 baskets left over. 5,000 people fed, 12 baskets left over. Whereas in the text this morning, he had 7 loaves and he fed 4,000. And there were only 7 baskets left over. 5 loaves to feed 5,000. 7 loaves to feed 4,000. With 5 loaves, there were 12 baskets left over. With 7 loaves, there were only 7 baskets left over. He does more with less. In Judges chapter 7, verse 1 to 7, Judges 7 from verse 1 to 7, he told Gideon that the army he had gathered was too large for him. He whittled down the army from 10,000 to 300 because he wanted to do more with less. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 from verse 26 to 29, 1 Corinthians 1, 26 to 29, the Bible tells us the kind of people God will use. The foolish, the weak, those who are nothing. Why? So that at the end, all glory will be unto him. So maybe the reason God has not been using you mightily is because you are already great. He will prefer someone who is small so he can do more with the one who is less than the one who is already two more. So that at the end of the day, everyone will say, only God can do this. Number 3, he uses whatever is available to him. Whatever is available to him is what he uses. Where are we going to find enough food for all these people? He said, well, what do you have? You give him what you have, then he will make use of it. When we go through the scriptures, we find that in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 6, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 6, there were 500 brethren by the time the Lord was leaving this world. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4, Acts 2, 1 to 4, there were only 120 in the upper room. But he filled the 120. And by the time you get to Acts chapter 5, verse 12, Acts 5, verse 12, you find that it's only the apostles who were doing signs and wonders. 120 got the fire. But only a handful were available for him to use. So the question Jesus is always asking, which he's going to ask again today, in John chapter 6, from verse 66 to 69, John 6, 66 to 69, it's a very simple question. Will you also go away? Because whatever remains is enough for him to use. Whatever is available to him is what he will use. I remember years ago when we started the first model parish, and the church grew rapidly, became 1,000 strong in less than 1 year. And the young man in charge decided to take away the church. He left 15 people behind, 15 people who refused to go with him. Today, the 15 people are all over the world. So he's asking you a question. Are you going to stay with him, or are you going away too? He uses whatever is available to him. That brings us to point number four. Whatever comes into God's hands may start small, but will not remain small. Whatever comes to his hand may start small, but will not remain small. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. 1 Kings 17, verse 1 was talking about a man called Elijah. He says, Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, I shut the heavens. I pointed this out to at least some of us before. Among the Jews, whenever they mention your name, they always want to mention your father's name. If they mention your name and they don't mention your father's name, it means you are absolutely nothing. I mean, for example, when they were talking about Bartimaeus, the beggar, they mentioned his father's name, Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. He may be a beggar, but his family is still something. In the case of Elijah, they never mention his father's name because the family doesn't matter. They did not amount to anything. But put somebody whose father's name does not demand being mentioned or qualify to be mentioned, put him in the hand of God, he can shut the heavens. Take Peter, Luke chapter 5, from verse 1 to 11. Luke 5, verse 1 to 11. He was a total failure as a fisherman. He put himself in the hand of God. By the time we got to Acts 5, from verse 14 to 16, Acts 5, 14 to 16, his shadow was healing the sick. He was small when he started. He didn't remain small. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, therefore, 1 Peter 5, 6, he's saying to someone, do you want to be great? Yes. He says, surrender yourself to God. Put yourself in his hand. What he said God will do to you is not that he will promote you, he said he will exalt you. The word exalt is a very powerful word. Point number five, which some people have mentioned. Jesus gave thanks. And we all know it's good to give thanks. I mean, so I don't need to belabor that. But the point here is that anyone can give thanks after a miracle. But he gave thanks before a miracle. Joshua chapter 6 verse 20, Joshua 6 verse 20, the children of Israel shouted, hallelujah, before the wall of Jericho fell. In John chapter 11 from verse 35 to 45, John 11, 35 to 45, Jesus gave thanks while Lazarus was still dead. Before Lazarus rose from the dead. And so Paul and Silas learned this lesson and demonstrated it in Acts 16 from verse 25 to 26. Acts 16, 25 to 26. While they were still in bondage, bound in prison, they started praising God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, therefore, verse 18, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, the Bible says, in everything, in every situation, give thanks. Maybe you tell that brother too to begin to give thanks. Give thanks. In every situation, give thanks. Even when you have been overworked and you try to catch up during Bible study. Because when you give thanks, the tide will turn. Do I hear somebody shout hallelujah? That brings us to point number 6. Jesus gave thanks to who? To his Father, of course. I mean, because he himself is God, and he's giving thanks. So he's giving thanks to his Father. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3. Tells us that the head of Christ is God. Man, the head of every man is Christ. The head of every woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God. Why? Why did he have to give thanks to his Father? John 5 verse 19. John 5, verse 19. He said, the Son can do nothing of himself. Whatever he sees his Father doing, that's what he does. It's a very big lesson to all of us. Because this may explain why many of us have never been able to perform a miracle. We don't know how to give thanks to the miracle worker. Jesus made it clear in John 15 verse 5. John 15 verse 5. Without me, you can do nothing. So if you learn the attitude of gratitude, you'll be amazed how many miracles God will perform through you. And I'm sure you know that performing miracles is not a function of age. It doesn't depend on how old you are. You know how to give thanks? And God will continue to use you for miracles. People have asked me, sir, we learned that almost every night you go out and you pray and pray and pray. What are you asking for? 95% of the time, I'm only giving thanks. Because if you thank him for what he has done, he will do more. Do I hear another shout of hallelujah?
Hallelujah!
That he teaches another lesson. And that is in Matthew chapter 10, verse 40. Matthew 10, verse 40. When he was sending the disciples out, he said to them, he that receives you receives me, and he that receives me receives him that sent me. A big lesson in being under authority. He said, hey, you're my representatives. You're under my authority. But I'm also under the authority of my Father. He that receives you receives me. He that receives me receives the one who sent me. So he gives thanks to the one who sent him. To show that he's under authority. He could easily have said, God the Father is God. God the Son is God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Well, we're equal. But we might be equal, but when somebody is put in authority, you better surrender to him. Or else, you just block your way to miracles. That is further illustrated in Luke chapter 7, from verse 2 to 10. Luke 7, 2 to 10. Luke 7. Verse 2 to 10. A centurion servant was sick. And some people came to Jesus and said, hey, please help this centurion. It's very good to our church. Jesus said, no problem, I'll come. A centurion sent to meet him and said, sir, you can come to my house. You don't need to. I am a man under authority. When I say to this soldier, goes, he goes. This one comes, he comes. He said, because they know that I have Caesar backing me up. They obey me not because of me, but because of the one who is in Rome. I also means I know you. You too, you are under authority. You have somebody up there backing you up. So you speak a word to demons, and demons must move. Not because of you, but because of your Father in heaven. When we send someone out to a foreign nation to go and be our representative, if he arrives and he begins to disobey our instructions, demons, we deal with him. We don't have to lift a finger in Lagos. Because demons will know he's not under authority. So they say, well, we can deal with you. Who are you? But when he submits himself to authority and he's doing things exactly the way we say he should do it, when he asks demons to move, they move, because not because of him, but because of the one who sent him, and not because of the one who sent him, but because of the one who sent the one who sent him. And so when you have a system and there is someone that they say is in authority over you, and you say, I'm more educated than he, I have more influence than he, and you disobey him, you invite trouble to your home. Authority is very, very important. I think I've taught this one before, probably a long time ago. When you are coming at high speed in your mighty truck, and a policeman lifts his hand to say stop, why do you stop? Is he strong enough to withstand the speed of your truck? If you like yourself, you better stop. Because the uniform he's wearing is telling you he's representing the government. Come too close to him before you stop. That journey you are hurrying to, you might not even get there for the next 1 week. That thing is called authority. Authority is different from power. When a policeman has a little revolver, and then there is a robber with AK-47, and yet the man with AK-47 runs from the man with a revolver. Firepower passes power now. I mean, the AK-47 has more firepower than the revolver. But the revolver, backed with the authority of the government, has far, far more firepower than even a nuclear bomb. He gives thanks to his father to acknowledge father's authority. Daddy, I'm about to perform a miracle, but all the glory will go back to you. Let me close, because I've gone to all this length, because we've been away from one another for 3 years. So we are trying to do as much as we can. But the elders in Nigeria have a saying, or in Africa, they say, it is not in one day that you feed a child who is starved. No matter how determined you are, if he's starved and you want to restore him, if you give him the food of 3 years in one day, you kill him. The most important part of this story is that he broke the bread and broke the fish. Only the broken can multiply. You need to take note of that. In John chapter 12, verse 24, John 12, verse 24, the Bible says, except a corn of wheat falls down into the ground and die, it abides alone. The reason many of us are not multiplying is because we are unbroken. We are stubborn. We still want to do our own will. We only want to obey when it is convenient. Obeying when it is convenient is not submission. Is cooperation. Obeying, whether it is convenient or not, is called submission. And only those who are broken know how to submit. As long as you still want to do your own thing, as long as you will do the work of God, if it fits your own personal agenda, you are not going to expand. Only the broken can be multiplied. Brokenness can come voluntarily. God can say, this is what I want, and you agree immediately. And if you do that, you have a glorious future. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19 to 21. 1 Kings 19, 19 to 21. Elisha was busy. He had his own business. His father's business. Very successful agricultural project. And then all of a sudden, an itinerant prophet, a man who didn't really have a house. We don't even know where his father's house, if he had a father's house at all, worthy of mention, came and threw his mantle upon him, and immediately surrendered. Is it a wonder then that a time came, his servants came to him and said, sir, the place where we are is too small for us. I mean, the boy just kept multiplying. That's voluntary. But if God loves you, and you are a bit difficult to break, he will still break you. When you get home, read the book of Jonah. Read the whole story. He may need to put you inside the fish for 3 days to tell you, you can't run from me. You want to run, and you are trying to run by the sea. I control the sea. I control the wind. You say, rather than obey God, I will die. You tell the people in the boat, throw me into the sea so I can drown. I control the fish. And I can ask the fish to swallow you and not digest you. And when you come to your senses, I will ask the fish to go and vomit you on dry ground so that you won't drown. You are not running. Once he has shown interest in you, you better surrender willingly. Because if you don't, he will still achieve his purpose. Breaking can be done in a very pleasant way. And it can be done in a way that it will leave some scars to remind you that there is someone called the Almighty, far, far mightier than you. So this morning, you want to remember that Jesus is constant. What is done before, he can do again. He does more with less. He uses whatever is available unto him. It is a good thing to learn to give thanks, if only to demonstrate that we are under the authority of the Most High. And only the broken can multiply. So you go to God this morning and thank him. This time, really, really thank him. Because each time we gather together, I know we sing choruses. Some of the choruses just come out of our mouth. It doesn't come from our heart. There are some choruses, the very first time you sang it, that's the time it had any real meaning to you. After that, it's just tradition. But if you look back at what God has done for you thus far, I'm sure you have reason to thank him. But then, even if he hasn't done anything for you, remember, some people give thanks before the miracles happen. So maybe if you thank him very well, tomorrow and Friday, you might begin to see mountains moving. And then maybe you want to tell him, I'm ready to be broken. Please do it gently, because I'm surrendering willingly. Shall we go to God in prayer? Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. So, Father, once again we are saying good morning to you. Thank you for waking us up. Thank you for giving us yet another day. Please accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Eternal Rock of Ages, we are grateful for all you've done in the past. And we are thanking you in advance for what you will do in the future. Please accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you in advance for what you will do tomorrow. Amen. Thank you for what you will do on Friday. Thank you because we know that after this week, even this land will not be the same.
Amen.
Accept our thanks in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And Lord God Almighty, we lay ourselves on the altar. We surrender completely to you, Lord. In all our lives, just let your perfect will be done.
Amen.
And the grace, Lord God Almighty, to remain 100% submissive to you and to your authority, release to us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
As for all your children here this morning, my Father and my God, do something new.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.
Amen.
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 Let someone shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I think we want to give an offering to our God just to say thank you for bringing us together. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name. Oh, hallelujah.
Table. Daddy, as we present our offering unto you this hour,
Let your fire fall from heaven, O Lord.
Amen.
And consume this offering.
Amen.
And let the smoke, O Lord, go unto you like a sweet smelling savour.
Amen.
And let the blessing of the Lord come back unto our lives.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Blessed be your name, Lord.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' wonderful name we pray.
Amen.
Okay, God bless you.
Praise God. Please, let's listen to the following.